7 o'clock, we start today's recitation. So today I'm going to review some content about the chapter 1, and then we will solve some rest problem. We still have some problem left for chapter 1. And after that we move on to the chapter 2. I will review some content first, and then we start from some problem. For some important concept for in chapter 1, the first one is the periodic signal. Anybody tell me why periodic signal is important? Why this signal is important? You have any idea? Right, because the reason is that using the Fourier transform, we can decouple all the real-time signals, all the real-life signals by the combination or the sum of these sine signals. They are all periodic signals. That's why we studied them. And for the continuous time signal, like if we give a signal 1 and a signal 2, we need to have ability to decide if the sum of them is still periodic or not. Also, we need to calculate the fundamental period for the sum. Now we have two periodic signals. The first one has the fundamental period T1, second one has T2. We need to calculate if the combination of these two signals is still periodic or not. And the formula looks like this. We calculate to get T1 and T2. We try to write T1 and T2 using this formula. If we can find the integer Q and R, we will prove the new signal is periodic, and the fundamental period of the new signal is R times T1, or you can is equal to Q times T2. I'll give you an example. These two signals, both are periodic. So, what's the fundamental period of T1? Is 2 pi over pi is 2. For the second one, omega is this.
and the fundamental period for the signal 2 is 5 over 2.
So we will try to
give this formula is that 4 over 5. Here Q is 4, R is 5, the fundamental period is just 2 times 5 equal to 10. And for the this is for the continuous signal. For the discrete signal, our formula for the discrete signal is omega r equals to 2 pi q. This is from the textbook. And to decide if a discrete time signal is periodic or not. To give you an example, for this signal, so how can we decide if this signal is periodic or not? We use this formula. Here, omega is 10. Now using this formula, 10 times R equals to 2 pi multiplied by Q. We can see clearly the left side, there is no pi. Right side, there is a pi. We can never find the integer r and q to make this form equation correct. So this is not a periodic.
The next important concept is the system property. We have several important properties for the system. The first one, if the system is causal or not, or if this system is linear or not. The last one is to decide if one system is time invariant or time variant. For the first property, causality, so for system, if the system output do not depend on the future input, we will call this system as a causal system. To give you an example, in the problem A of problem 1.29 for this system. Is this system causal or not? Yn equals to xn at 2 times xn minus 2. Is this system causal or not? Any idea? So the definition of causality is the system output do not depend on future input. Here, this is current input, right? This is the previous input. This system do not, the output of Yn do not depend on the future input, only depends on current input and the previous input. So this system is causal. Give you another example. For this system, is this system causal or not? How many people think this is causal? So here, for this system, xn is the current input. Xn plus 1 is the future input, right? This is the delayed input, xn plus 1. So this is the output depends on future input, because it depends on xn plus 1. So in this case, the system is not causal. Now we can compare these two problems. We can easily see the difference. If the system do not depend on future input, there is no xn plus something. If there's no this xn plus something, this system is causal. If there is, you see this kind of term, xn plus something, this kind of system not causal. The next property for a system is the linearity. So we use the following equation to determine if system is linear or not. We will give the system input A times x1n plus B times x2n. x1n and x2n, they are two specific input for this system. They can be any kind of input. We will compare the system output. If we give this system input, if the system output equals to this, this system is a linear system. If the system output don't equal this term, the system is nonlinear. In the problem C for problem 29, the system equation is here, y equals to n times xn. Here let's see how to decide if this is linear or not using our formula. So we give the system input. So for this system, it gives the input and we get the xn input times n as the output. Here we give this as input and we will get n times here, it starts with times n times this term. So this will, if we throw out this, we will get a times n x1 n plus b n x2 n. So what's this? This term is just a times y1 n, and this part is just b times y2 n. So this equation left equals, so we will get this is a linear system, right? The other property for system is we need to decide if a system is time invariant or time variant. So how to decide the time invariancy or time variancy? We will give the system input as n minus n0. That can be any number, can be 1 or 2 or 3. We give a delayed signal as the input. We will check the system output. If the system output is just a delayed variant yn, its output is this, we will get the conclusion that the system is time invariant. If not, the system is time variant. So still using the same example. For this system, yn equals to n times xn. That means we give input times n, we get the output. Using this formula, now let's decide if the system is time invariant or not. So for this system, it starts at n times input. We give xn minus n0 as system input. The system output will it starts at n times this one. Right. That's output. Let's see what's y n minus n0. Here, if we replace n by n minus n0, this will become n minus n0 times x n minus n0. We can see clearly these two parts, they are not equal, right? So this is n. This is n minus n0. So this system is time invariant. So I will ask one student to solve these two problems. So anybody volunteer to do this? Problem D and E. just random children, Jacob, Edward. Yeah. I will stay with you to solve the problem together. Not a problem. Sorry, if this system is linear or not, if it's time invariant or not, you can just tell me that you need to give some reason why this system is linear, why this is time invariant or not. You can either prove it or just write down some reason.
Okay. And I'm just doing D.
D and E.
Both?
Yeah, both. And I will ask another student to do F and G. This kind of 1.29 is very important. Because last semester, the test, the exam 1, is exactly the same 1.29. So this semester might something similar. You will need to be able to solve this kind of problem. Right.
What was the equation for the time varying?
Oh, right. It's that x, n, minus 0, to see if this is equal to 1.
Alright. This is, makes this equal or not.
Right. Okay.
server?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. So that's the system input, right?
Yeah.
You give the input and you get this. We need to compare if this is equal to A times Y1 and B times Y2, and if this is equal or not. Right? This Y1 is just A times sine, right?
Yeah.
Sine, X, Y, and...
Hold on.
You got the idea, right?
Uh-uh, hold on. I can't understand it right. You say this is A times sine.
X, Y, and...
A
times
sine.
X, Y, and...
Oh, okay. Good, yeah, it does it.
If they want to get the Y1N, it's just the Y1N, which is the...
Oh, you just move this
one. Yeah, just move this one, give this one to 1. That's just Y1N. This term is not Y1N.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah, okay. Given, it's already given.
So,
right. And the Y2B times the Y2N.
That's
Y2. Y2 is just the actual part. B times Y2N. Oh. Right, that's because you give the system X1N, you will get the Y1N, right? You give the Y2N,
yeah.
You will get the Y2N. Right,
okay.
And if you give the A times Y1N, right,
you get
the same. If you give B times Y2N, you get the B times Y2N. Here is this.
I'm not planning on
doing it. 40 times Y2N. And the
Y2N
is
what's
Y2N.
Y1N
is...
It's just Y2N.
It's just the...
Yes,
can
that
be? Y, X,
Y,
right.
Because if you cut it into the cell or something like that, you don't have to add the
cell. Right. This is the same, right? This just started the, like, this term is the same.
Okay.
If you ask Y, you get the Y1. If you ask Y, you get the Y1. Right, you need to compare.
They equal
to the right. You need to compare if this is equal or not. But here, this is the, for sine, this is not equal. Because this is all the term here. They're not, you cannot put them as this one plus this one. Sine something, a whole idea.
You say this.
This part is not equal, this two parts. This one and this one is not equal. Because here, this is outside. Here is inside. This is not equal. So it's not linear.
Okay.
Right. So,
alright. I understand.
Mm-hmm. This is outside the bracket, right? This sign looks like it's outside the bracket to me, right? So it looks like it's supposed to be distributed between this and this by that. See, that's why I'm confused, but he said they ain't equal, but no, it's like they are.
That's the sign.
The
efficient here.
Well,
he
said
this.
What's my understanding? This right here is x and z. Right. So all you're doing is plugging this in for x and z.
Exactly.
Sign times.
It's not sine times x and z. Sine
times
x and z. X and z is the argument of
sine.
Right.
And
since
these are not equal,
that's not equal.
That's
the step to prove it. Right.
Okay.
If you don't get it directly, you can just try to prove it. That's not the idea to confirm it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had to make it. All right. I understand. So, I got to, you say time is varying, right?
Yes. And it's the time is varying.
Okay. Oh, yeah, E. I need to do the E.
Right.
Man, I need to write this down. Hold on. I need to write this down.
Or you can use this for
this one.
Really like.
this is this term.
Yeah.
So the left, you give the first term as input this, B times this, plus B times this, you get this, right?
Yeah.
This is, do you think this is equal? This is equal. This is not equal. And sometimes this might be different. Maybe A can be minus 1, B can be minus 1. This can be minus 1. This might be A equals to minus 1, B equals to 1. This graph can be different.
Yeah.
The absolute value cannot put them together. If this is minus, it will become. If this is negative, it will become positive.
Yeah.
So this is not equal to the negative. For the time, for the time warranty, the same thing. And you give the input. And for the y and minus and 0, for that it does replace n by n minus and 0 1, but for that.
So it be the same thing as that.
So the problem G is kind of complicated. Do it by myself. For this system, we can see that this 0.5 to the power of n has nothing to do with this I. We can just grab it out. So this system is just equal to this. We can grab this out. The reason is that there is no I in this part. This sum is summed by I. So we will get this. So for this system, we give the A, X1, and it's just also the sum of this one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We give this as system input, we will get this. So some part will become this. we will get for this part is just we can just grab A and B out, grab these two parts out, right? Just A times Y1 and this part is B times Y2 and so this is just a linear system. Invariant or not. If we give the system input, since we already, this is our system, it's just the power of n. That's it. The difference is here, the n becomes n minus n zero. For the y, n minus n zero. Here we need to be careful because this kind of term, all the n will need to become n plus n zero, n plus n zero. So these two parts are the same, but here is the power part, this is not same. So this is time variant. Even you do not understand that, if you cannot remember the detailed steps, you can just remember in your mind this kind of system is linear and time variant. Because in the exam, the last semester is the exam one, don't need you to give the proof, but you need to give, if this system is linear, you need to choose linear or non-linear, time variant or time invariant. If you can just remember this, you can also get the credit. Okay, we have like 5 or 10 minutes break. After that, we will move to the chapter 2. If you have questions, just come to talk with me. I'll give you more details.
So for chapter 2, we have talked about three important concepts. The first one is the LTR system. It's just an idea, it's just an assumption for our formula how to... In this course, lock system, the assumption of this system is the LTR system. What's L? That's a linear, right? And the TI is the time invariant. We already covered the how to decide, how to determine if a system is linear or not, if system time invariant or not. In the following chapters, we will use this kind of a property help us to solve problems. Another important idea is convolution. Convolution is a mathematical operation for two functions. We use star to represent convolution. In this course, we study the continuous time signal and the discrete time signal. For the discrete time signal, the convolution means for signal xn, for signal xn convolution vn is equal to the sum. The sum I can be anything from negative infinity to positive infinity. It's xi multiply vn minus I. Currently, this kind of operation is like addition, subtraction, the MATLAB or other kind of tools can solve this operation, convolution, very easily. In MATLAB, we use the function. CONV. To calculate the convolution of two vectors. Like if we give the vector x equal to 1, 0, 1 or something, give the vector v equal to 2, 2, 1, 1. We can just use the convolution x and v. In MATLAB. MATLAB will give you the result. What's the result of these two signals, the convolution of this signal. And one thing I need to point out is that if the duration of the convolution result for the vector x, what's the length? It's 3, right? 3 elements. For signal v, how many elements do we have?
4,
right? So this is 3, this is 4. and the result of the convolution will be 3 plus 4 minus 1.
That's fixed.
Right. If the vector is the length of x is n, the length of vector v is n, the convolution of x and v will, the length will become n plus m minus 1. When you do some coding, you need to keep in mind this. Otherwise, there's some dimension mismatch problem. And for the properties of the convolution operator, what is this commutative? The convolution of xn and vn equals to the convolution of vn and xn. Into this is the reverse order, right? Xn convolution vn equals to vn convolution xn. They are exactly the same. This is useful because sometimes if you give you two signals, you use this kind of form, you cannot solve it. Solving it will be very difficult. If you use the reverse order, using this kind of reverse order, it will become easier in some case. Like xn convolution vn equals to xi, the sum of xi vn minus I, which means it can also equal to vi multiply xn minus I. Sometimes this is easier to solve problem. Sometimes this is easier to solve problem. That's why this is useful. Distributive xn convolution v1 that equals xn convolution v1 and plus xn convolution v2n. Right. That's easy to remember. And this also can be not plus. If this is minus, this also equals. Right. Also, the convolution operator is associated. The convolution, xn convolution v1n convolution v2n equals to we can compute the first two convolutions first and then convolution the result
with this one. Also, we can also convolution the rest of 2 and the convolution x1 and with this result. We can also convolution this first and then with this. That's the same.
So the almost the most important concept for this in the rest chapters will be the impulse response HN. So let's see the definition of HN. Usually I use this term to represent a system. If that means if I give the xn as input, we will get yn as output. It can I just use this kind of term to represent. It's helpful for us to solve problems. The definition of impulse response. We give delta n as system input. The system output is yn.
What is this? L1?
L1.
Delta?
Oh, right. Remember delta n. For discrete signal, that's n, right? It's just only n equal to 0, the system is 1. Other case, they are 0. That's the step impulse. Remember the definition. That's for the discrete. For the discrete time signal. For the continuous time signal, delta t looks like this. All 0, 0, 0. And here we have an impulse. This impulse can be very large. But when t equals to 0, but for the discrete time signal, the impulse, the height of the impulse is 1. That kind of different for the continuous case or the discrete case. For the continuous case, this is infinity. But for discrete time, the height is just 1. That means we give this signal to the system as the input. The output is impulse response. Anybody with me on this?
Right.
we give an impulse to the system. The output is the impulse response. We use HN to represent the impulse response. So why impulse response is important? Impulse signal, we can represent any signal by using this kind of form. This is the shifted version of the impulse, right? This is the This is delta n minus 1. Here is 1. And delta n minus 2. Here is 2. Other time, they are all 0. So, any kind of signal can be represented by this term. Since our assumption, we have LTR system, linear time invariant. So, anybody have a question?
No.
So we give xn to the system, we will get the yn will become this delta n minus I will become h n minus I because this is the impulse. That's impulse response. This term looks familiar, right? Because this is exactly the definition of convolution. So this will become Fn convolution Hn. See, that's amazing, right? Because the system output can be represented by the system input convolution, the impulse response. Remember, convolution is commutative. So this can be also equal to Hn convolution Fn. Why this is important? Why this equation is important? Because
using this term, for any kind of system, we can just use impulse response to represent the system, right? Because if we know the impulse response of this system, we give input, we do convolution, we get output, right? This can represent all the properties of a system. Now let's see the how we solve homework using this. Open our textbook in page 85. In the problem 2.5, problem A. In the problem 2.5, the equation of the system already be given, and we need to compute the unit pulse response Hn. Still this system equation, now we want to get what's the impulse response of H0, H1, H2, H3. Remember the definition of Hn is equal to the Hn impulse response if you give the system input delta n, give system input, and then we will get the Hn. So here we just replace Xn with delta n for this equation. If we use delta n as the input, this will become Hn. So everybody with me on this? Do you have any questions? Why this equal to this? So this is the system equation, right? On the top. So by the definition of Hn, the definition of Hn is to give delta n as input. This input, the output will be Hn. Now, from this equation, y is output, y is output, x is input. If we want to get the Hn, we just give xn equals delta n. Then the y will become the h. Right. This here, delta n equals here. Now we get this equation, but how can we get H0, H1, H2, H3?
So remember the curve of delta n. Only n equals to 0, this is 1. Otherwise, they are 0, right? I want to point out another property for the Hn is that if n is less than 0, Hn is 0. That can be proved using the causality, the definition of causality. You can just remember. If n less than 0, Hn is 0. So here, if we want to get H0, we need to make this term n plus 1 equals 0, right? Now n is equal to minus 1. Now h minus 1 equals 2 delta minus 1. So everybody with me, right? If you want to get 0, we need to make n equal to minus 1. Now we get this term. Because if n less than 0, Hn equals to 0. This term, what's this term? Equals to 0, right? H minus 1 always equals 0. H minus 2, minus 3, they always 0. What's this term? Only delta 0 is 1. Otherwise, delta n will become 0. So this is the minus 1, so this is also 0. That means H0 plus 0 equal to 0. H0 equal to 0. Do you have a question until this? Why I get H0 equal to 0? Okay, now we get H0. Let's compute H1. In order to get H1, previously we made n equal to minus 1. Now we just make n minus 0. This term will become H1 plus H0 equals to 2 times beta 0, right? This is 1. We already get from here. This is 0. And here, what's beta 0?
1.
Yeah, exactly. So H1 equals to 2. Right, we get H1 for the if n equal to 1, H2 H1 equal to 2 delta 1. What's this? H1. Here, right? We already got that.
two. What's that one?
Zero.
Yes, exactly. Because only delta 0 equals 1. Otherwise, delta n will be 0. So this one is plus minus 2 of 1. So we get H2. So that's how we solve this problem. And H3 is just a similar. When n equals to 2, we will get H3. Right. So now we solve the problem A. Is there any question on it? Okay. Let me get the
one person for.
Right. That's exactly the correct result. Thanks. So we can see this kind of problem is not the fixed step to solve that, right? I want to point out for B. When the right side is equal to the same thing. When n equals to like 0, this part will become x1 delta 1 minus delta 0. Something like that. It's just the same thing. You can do the left CDE on your own time. Now let's see the problem 2.7. The problem 2.7, we have the plot of xn and vn. We need to compute the convolution of the our definition of convolution. Xn convolution Vn will equal to the sum from negative infinity to positive infinity xi times Vn minus I. That's the definition of convolution. For the problem A, what's xn? xn is 0, 1, 2. For the function, for the signal xn, when n is equal to 0 is equal to 1, when n equal to 1 is equal to 1, n equal to 2 equal to 1, all the rest will equal to 0, right? Only these 3 points, xn is not 0. So this part, which means this sum, if I equal to negative minus infinity, x I equal to 0, right? I equal to like minus 10 x I is 0, right? Yes, they are all 0 until x 0, x 1, x 2. These three values are not 0. And if I equal to 3, it's 0 again. Here, they are all 0. They are all 0. Which means this sum, the sum from negative infinity to positive infinity, is that can be I equal to 0 to 2.
try. Anybody with me on this? Right. All the other values, the xi will equal to zero. So only from the sum from negative infinity to positive infinity will become just 0 to 2. That will become very simple. When I equal to 0, this one is the x0 and plus I equals 1 x1 v n plus I equals 2 x2 v n minus 2, right? What's x0? What's the value of x0?
1.
Yes, 1. And x1, x2, they are all 1. So this is just become n plus v n minus 1 plus v n minus 2. We already know v n. V n minus 1 is the right shift 1. This is the redshift 2. It's easy to get the plot, right? Vn equal to, this is 0, this is 3. This is Vn. And Vn minus 1 is the redshift. Vn minus 2 shift again. Otherwise, all 0. You sum these 3 signals, you will get the plot of convolution. Right. Everybody with me? Okay. I will ask for the problem B. Right. To differentiate and to solve this problem.
So for this kind of problem, we can just get the pattern, right? First, we write the definition of convolution equal to this sum of two sigma. And we will look at one signal, because for the x n signal, they are all zero. They are all zero, except n equals to zero, except x zero and x one. Other cases, they are all zero. So this sum from negative infinity to positive infinity will become sum from 0 to 1. And we will just x0, x1, and get the plot. Then that's it. And from the problem C is very similar to this. And I will show you the MATLAB how to do the convolution.
Okay, we open the MATLAB, and for the problem A, we give the signal X is 1, 1, 1. Other rest they are all zero, that only 1, 1, 1 is non-zero, and for the signal weight is 1, 1, 1, 1. All the rest is zero. We do the convolution. The convolution is between 0, and we give the x the 1, and we will plot the signal using that. When you plot the continuous signal, we use plot, P-L-O-T, but for the discrete signal, we use depth. Now we run this. We will get the plot of the convolution. We will get the convolution result. See. That's exactly the same with the homework solution. And I want to point out that remember the length. The x is 3, right? The length of x is 3. The length of the weight is 4. The length of the convolution result is just 3 plus 4 minus 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5, 6. And that's for problem 1. For problem A, for problem B, the only difference is the X signal and the V signal. And we get a plot. See. Our result is like this. For the problem C, that's the result. So basically, I just want to tell you that using MATLAB or other tools, the convolution is just a very common operator, like addition and subtraction. But since the system can be represented the output can be represented by the convolution of the input and the impulse response, and we can use MATLAB or other tools to do the convolution. Now, if we get the impulse response HN, we will know what the system output is. We have lots of methods to get HN. One is from the problem 2.5. We give the when n equals minus 1, 0, something, we will get H0, H1, something like that. And on the rest of the course, Dr. Connie will show you how to compute, how to get HN, compute the impulse response. Okay, that is for today. And also I will upload the audio file and also with the MATLAB code to the website. Thank you.